notice all of the questions that were posed in this morning's gospel? Five verses, five questions. Have you ever noticed that our homily time tends to start with questions? Questions are a crucial part of our faith. But how many of us are comfortable with questions? I don't mean rhetorical questions that hang in the air waiting for pat answers, answers that we expect or want to hear. And I don't mean questions that evoke uncomfortable school memories of pop quizzes for which we have not prepared. My question is, how do we give ourselves permission to ask real questions? Questions that go to the heart of our deepest needs. Questions that take us somewhere. Questions that open new doors to new horizons. Questions that lead us to the truth that God longs for us to hear. So what's the difference? Well, did Jesus' answer to Pilate leave you scratching your head? Or did you just shrug your shoulders and think, whatever? I have to wonder if maybe the nature of Pilate's questions, like many of our own, was superficial. And I have to wonder if Pilate's refusal to ask the deeper questions might have shaped Jesus' somewhat obtuse answer. Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, the deeper question might be, did Pilate really want to know this man? Or was he just looking to apply a quick label and thereby dismiss who Jesus really was? Pilate asks, "I'm not a Jew, am I?" The deeper question might be, is Pilate trying to separate himself from Jesus? Is he trying to avoid owning the action that he's about to take? He asks, "What have you done?" Was placing blame and scapegoating just an easier way out for him? You know, it's ironic that tradition names this last Sunday in the season of Pentecost as Christ the King Sunday, and then assigns a gospel reading where Jesus evades Pilate's question and dodges the issue of kingship. That irony makes me wonder, how often do we ask superficial questions of Jesus, of God, of Scripture, of worship? How often are we disappointed in the answers? Do we ever consider the possibility that there might be a connection? In this morning's gospel, Jesus and Pilate were not really talking to each other. They were talking past each other. And that's what happens when people only ask surface questions. In staying shallow, we avoid the confusion of going deeper. But we also miss the grace. Pilate is remembered as evil and weak. He was remembered that way because he was unable or unwilling to dig deeper, to search for the more meaningful questions. So let's take a more common faith question, one we talked about as we worked through the book of Job in October. Why do bad things happen to good people? That is a surface level question. What are the deeper underlying questions? Does being good pay off? Is faith the way to happiness? What does real happiness look like anyway? Is misfortune and hardship some kind of divine punishment? Is life fair? What do we mean by fair? What do we think God means? What about the questions we've been asking for the past several weeks? What does pledging our financial assets to the church have to do with our faith? If we want to stay on the surface, we can ask, just how do we increase our token dues to meet the church's budgetary needs? If we want to go deeper in our faith journey, we need to ask the questions that will make us struggle with the idea of God's centrality in our lives. How hungry are we for healing and hope, for meaning and purpose? How committed are we to God and God's purposes for us and the world around us? What would real trust in God look like? Feel like? What does it mean to give ourselves to the God who has given us everything we need? Perhaps Jesus's one question back to Pilate can show us a way into this deeper conversation. Jesus asks, "Do you ask this question on your own, or did others tell you about me?" How often do the things we are told in life become our own? Don't we more often just passively react to someone else's push, a spouse's demand, a boss's requirement, a clergy's plea? We tend to respond in life to please or to avoid criticism. But do we find personal meaning in our actions? Many of us seek answers through prayer and in coming to worship. But do we venture enough, deep enough, to lay our real questions before God? We want to believe, but do we want to suffer doubt and confusion on the way? We want to belong, but are we willing to give up personal control in order to create and participate in an inclusive faith community? We want to feel worthy before God, but can we grapple with God's decisions to constantly dispense mercy rather than report cards? Without learning to ask the deeper questions, something is missing in our faith. The spark, the internal passion seeking passion lies dormant within us, leaving us lifeless. Saying words and singing hymns in proper fashion are pleasing to the ear, but the heart aching for God, the soul begging for release, the voice catching in mid-verse at the awesomeness of God's grace. That is passion seeking passion, and is what Jesus came to show us. That is why he asked Pilate if his question was his own or not. Did Pilate truly want to know this rabbi from Nazareth? Or was he just being driven by political pressure to investigate a possible nuisance? If Pilate really was looking for the truth, then Jesus would have answered differently. But Pilate simply was looking to make his view of the world safe. So there was no point for Jesus to answer at all. We tend to get what we ask for. If we turn to God for confirmation of what we think we already know, then we will hear our own tired words ringing in our ears. If we turn to God as venturesome pilgrims, then we will hear something closer to God's truth. Any honest question can be laid before God. What matters is whether we ask on our own. The right question, you see, is the deeper question, the question that springs from within our own heart, our own need, our own hope. For all of the complexity that we have piled on the Christian movement, Jesus' ministry itself was very simple. He tells a story of God's love and invites a heartfelt response. He reveals something of himself and invites our honest reaction. He points to the needs of the world and invites us to share ourselves and our blessings. He gives us to each other, not as a forum for obtaining right opinion, but as a circle of encouragement for going deeper in our relationship with God. Our faith does not depend on defining the truth, but in asking the real questions that leads us into knowing God. Not knowing about, but knowing God. God's answers may initially feel unsettling, but they will always set us free to respond from the heart. And as we do, as we learn to lay our needs before God, to lay our questions before God, to lay our hopes before God, the real kingship of Jesus, the kingdom of God, will move one step closer. Amen. I invite you to stand. Returning to page 358 in the Book of Common Prayer, let us affirm our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternal God,
Form 3 found on page 387 of the Book of Common Prayer. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
Remembering especially Catherine, our presiding bishop, Ian, James, and Laura, our bishops, and Lisa, our rector. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
Look on the faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
Lord, we lift up to you all victims of war and conflict, especially those suffering from extreme poverty throughout the world. We pray for all military personnel and their families, especially Zeke, Jasmine, Michael, Ryan, Doug, Mike, Rez, Jeremiah, Todd, and Thomas. And remembering Barack, our president, Daniel, our governor, and John, our mayor. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
Let there be justice and peace on the earth.
We pray for abused and neglected children, for families who struggle emotionally and economically, and for our Covenant to Care social worker, Tanisha, and the children she serves. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Remembering especially Marilyn, Jeanette, Tony, Miles, Sandy, Ed and family, Bob, Priscilla, Herbert, Helen, Jackie, Bob, Kimberly, Christian, Gail and family, Michelle, Stephen, Michelle, Michael, and Fiona, Brian, Thomas, Daphne, Alicia, James, Joan, Leo, Adam, and Georgette. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Flowers at the lectern are given to the glory of God in the celebration of David Mack's birthday and the wedding anniversary of David and Maria Max. Flowers at the pulpit are given to the glory of God in memory of Irene and Bob McKay from their daughter, Vivian. Give to the departed eternal rest, remembering especially George Weber, brother-in-law of Georgia Weber, who died this week. Let thy perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May they also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We give you thanks for the continued gift of healing for Nolan and Christian. We give you thanks for the gift of life for those celebrating their birthdays this week, especially Jane, David, and Hope. We give thanks for the gift of marriage and for those celebrating their anniversaries this week, especially Marina and David Max. And we thank you for each and every member of this congregation as we continue, by your grace, to move forward in faith and love. Lord, May we clearly see your hand at work above us. May we respond in love, in trust, and in true faith that draws us ever closer to you.
Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Returning to page 360, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord always be with you.
And also with you.
Peace.
What happens as Advent begins next week?
probably one of the most difficult, but one of the most necessary, is for the next 4 weeks, we are going to practice some quiet time. We're going to practice learning how to be in this space and sit with our questions. And what I'm asking is that for the next 4 weeks, that as we enter into the sanctuary for worship, that we enter in silence. That whatever conversations or questions or meetings or information we need from one another, that we do in the hall or in the narthex, or hold until after the service. To give us 4 weeks of practice in coming into space and centering with our hopes, our needs, our questions, our fatigue, and offering that up to God before worship, so that God might find a way to respond back during. Ms. Dangle, going to talk about our Christmas.
Hi, I'm Sue Dangle. I'm a member of the Outreach Committee. Two items in the announcements for the Outreach that I would like to draw your attention to. One of them being the Christmas tags. As you will see, there are still some tags available for you to pull and purchase a gift for one of the kids that our social worker Tanisha supports. If you do take a tag, Karen and I will be hovering around here after the service. We just have you fill out the bottom part so we know what tag you've taken. And we do ask that the gifts come back wrapped by December 9th so that we can get them to Tanisha on time for her to deliver to the kids. If you don't wish to shop, we can take a donation and do your shopping for you. So we'll be here after the service if you have any questions. Thank you to everyone who's already participated. I see there's actually some gifts back already, so that's awesome to see. The other outreach item that I'd like to draw your attention to is regarding Abraham's Tent, which is our program with Columbus House, which takes place in March. We will be hosting 12 men from Columbus House for a week in March. We did this last year, and it was extremely successful. And once we finished that week, everyone was very excited about how they could participate again this year. So we've put a sign-up sheet on the outreach bulletin board in the hallway. As you go out to the common room, if you take a right, the outreach bulletin board is there. And as it says in the bulletin today, what we're looking for right now is for people to sign up for the overnight shift. We're required to have 4 people sign up for that shift each night. And we're required that at least 2 of those people be male, and at least 1 of those 4 also be a member of our congregation. So if it's something you think you'd like to do, please sign up, because what we're going to do in a couple of weeks is we're going to send this out to our partners. We have many other congregations partnering with us this year, and we wanted to give everyone at Holy Spirit the opportunity first before we put it out to our partners. So if you don't sign up now, in a few weeks, other people will be signing up. The overnight shift really just requires you to come in about 9 o'clock at night. You have to be 18, that's one of the other requirements. You come in about 9 o'clock at night and you stay up all night with the men. Most of them are sleeping because they're tired, but somebody needs to be awake all night. There's not an issue, there's no problems, you just need adults on the property awake. So you're here till about 5 or 6 the next morning, you can help with breakfast, clean up, and then you're done with your shift. So if you have any questions about that as well, please see me or Karen Jacobs, and we'd be happy to give you more details. So thanks.
Thank you. The deeper question to our pastors, the honest question that you might ask is, why should I pay attention? Why should I pay attention?